They should just use this as an opportunity. We're in a dead period anyway, about to enter the holidays, a year away from the next election. Now's the time to get ahead of all this. Just dump it all. Just dump it. Get it out there. Get it. There's going to be interesting leads, because if they really put it out there, Bill Gates is going to be heavily implicated. Bill Clinton is going to be heavily implicated. The people, Wexner is going to be heavily implicated. A bunch of high-ranking, high-profile Democrats are going to be implicated. Now, so will the Israeli government, but that's even more excuse for and cover for Trump to cut bait and divorce from Bibi's policies in Israel that are causing him such political trouble here at home anyway. So that's what they need to do, because if they don't do it, then it goes to the House and Democrats will selectively leak it. They'll selectively leak a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here. It'll be cut, 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 cut. And they won't be leaking the Clinton files. They won't be leaking the Bill Gates files. They won't be leaking even the Israeli files. It'll just be leaking Trump file, Trump file, Trump file. Maybe throw in a little Howard Lutnick in there, who's Jeffrey Epstein's neighbor. You know, those kind of people. It will be a disaster for him. It will be a nightmare for him. So either he gets ahead of this or he suffers a death by a thousand cuts. It's going to be up to Trump.
Now, let's look at a different aspect of that. You said earlier that there was an issue not just with the Israeli Mossad and several other aspects of the Israeli government, but also with the working of the CIA. Seems like they may have as much interest as anyone in keeping these things out, because they don't want their activities out in the open. What would happen if we do find out, the American public, that the CIA has been doing things that we consider abhorrent?
I think you'll see a reaction like you saw in the late 1970s when they found out about MK Ultra, when they found out about Operation Phoenix, when they found out that the CIA was neck deep in drug running, gun running, human trafficking, psychological experimentations, illegal assassinations, regime change. That, you know, people like James Baker never forgave Bill Colby for disclosing the family jewels. He blamed 9/11 on Bill Colby. Now, of course, by the way, Bill Colby's grandson is Eldridge Colby, currently Under Secretary of Defense. So the other people who basically blacklisted his grandfather, they were named Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and George H.W. Bush. So we'll see if the grandson remembers some of that. But what they should do is use this as an opportunity to expose deep state corruption, put Tulsi Gabbard in charge because she's the best at it, knowing how to filter that through as the confidence of all sides. And then they could mitigate the harm and direct the harm. We need to rein in the CIA, we need to rein in the NSA, we need to rein in our relationship with MI6, rein in our relationship with Mossad. But you're right, Ratcliffe is busy. He's recycling and laundering MI6 and Ukrainian intel as our intel. That's why our president is given constantly fake information on the Ukrainian conflict. Same with Iran and Israel. He just takes Mossad's bogus intel, recycles it, launders it as his own. Right now on the CIA staff is the person who, according to credible complaints, is the January 6th pipe bomber, who was apparently working at DC, the Capitol Police, with the Capitol. Apparently, he's involved in all kinds of things that happened January 6th, but including putting those fake pipe bombs that are meant to scare everybody. And then she ends up at the CIA like a year or so later. Why is she even still on Ratcliffe's payroll? So there's no question that Ratcliffe and the institutional actors of the CIA and the NSA just do not want the world to know just how corrupt they are, just how nasty they are. That's personified in the form of Jeffrey Epstein and all the bad stuff he did. That's why, as even Acosta, the former prosecutor in the case, and Trump labor secretary, purportedly admitted that he was told to back off because Epstein was an intelligence asset. There's files that suggest that in Robert Mueller's files, who's involved in this. So Epstein was always the key to unraveling deep state corruption and getting public buy-in for massive institutional reform. But that's precisely why those institutions don't want anybody to understand and know who he is. And they don't care if Trump suffers death by a thousand cuts, as long as it's not them getting exposed.
Well, it's really starting to look like whatever Trump is or isn't involved with may even be a sideshow compared to a lot bigger things that we would like to know in these Epstein files. And maybe we don't even know what we're asking for, but at least I, for one, am like, bring the spotlights out, shine on all of this stuff. However ugly it is, I think it would be better for the country if all of it came out and we can deal with it, as opposed to like just letting some come out and keep the rest hidden, because I think this is not good for our country.
Not at all. If people understand, Epstein basically replaced Mark Rich. for Israel. But after Mark Rich got into trouble with tax and other issues, he was kind of the arms runner, money launderer, you know, info launderer guy. Epstein replaced him and Robert Maxwell. And consequently, like you're seeing in some of the drop site disclosures, it's interesting. Democrats aren't disclosing this information. Instead, they disclose anytime Trump's name pops up. But what's more interesting to me was his ongoing role. Like just a few years ago, he's the intermediary between Israel and Russia, the intermediary between Israel and the Ivory Coast. Jeffrey Epstein, right? This guy with unexplained money sources who suddenly became a billionaire overnight, who supposedly is a trader, but never traded that anybody knows about. At least not on the public stock markets. He might have been trading something, but it wasn't what was supposed to be traded on Wall Street. So you dig in. This guy exposes all the crimes of the deep state. He personifies it in its scale and scope of evil, but he also personifies it and manifests it in its everyday banality of evil, in the arms running, the information laundering, the kind of trading of people and places for power that is constantly being engaged in by these corrupt rogue agencies that have lost any sense of moral compass or any degree of anchor in constitutional republic principles. So I agree, absolutely. I am for full, complete disclosure of everything related to the Epstein files, because it will trigger more public outcry and demand for radical reform in Washington, like we should have got at the end of the 1970s. That should have killed the CIA once and for all, and instead they resurrected themselves into a new life. Epstein could be the death nail to the CIA's ongoing criminality, and that's why so many powerful actors in Washington will do anything possible to keep the real Epstein files hidden.
Well, then all we can do is hope that President Trump does what you suggest and don't even wait for the discharge petition. Just say, here's a bulldozer. I'm just going to unload all of it from the files and make of it what you will. That would probably be the best thing. Listen, before I let you go, I wonder if you suggested or talked about something a second ago. I wonder if you can kind of tell us, what is your understanding of this whole issue about the pipe bomb and the CIA person and how it related to January 6th? Because we've heard about a lot of these accusations, but so far, at least I haven't seen anybody has been arrested yet. What can you tell us about that?
So from the get-go, everything about January 6th smelled like a false flag. For those people that misunderstand false flags, not that an event did not happen. False flag literally derived from when a pirate ship would put up a false flag pretending to be a ally of the ship they're about to attack, so that the ship that they're about to attack doesn't recognize them as a risk. And then once they get close enough to be able to board the ship, up goes the Jolly Roger, hence false flag attacks. So here, everything about January 6th was unusual from the get-go. Unusual security lapses, unusual missing evidence, role of informants, infiltrators and instigators, hundreds of undercover assets of the FBI that has now been admitted and acknowledged. They're on the ground trying to inspire the violence. But a big part of the story that has never been explained is in the night before, somebody went around and planted pipe bombs, including at the DNC and elsewhere. And what was extraordinary is this person was never found, never caught. And this was the story meant to raise the stakes. Hey, this wasn't just a public riot at the Capitol. This was an insurrection that was meant to overthrow the government. And, it was the great imminent threat that MAGA presents and Trump presents to the democracy. And a key to this was, why did they never find this person? And so some people have done an analysis, former FBI agents, along with independent investigative reporters like Steve Baker, who's now assigned to the Blaze. And they did gate analysis and a range of other analysis. And Kyle Serafin, who's a former FBI agent turned whistleblower, he had done initial analysis at the time of the house of a certain house location that was connected to the Capitol, January 6th pipe bomber. What they have put together is they've put up a very credible allegation that it was one of the lead Capitol Police agents that day, one of the key Capitol Police officers, that in fact, not only is she the person they identify as the pipe bomber, but she's also identified that day, and this is fully known and not in dispute, she helped instigate the riot that day by shooting pepper balls into the crowd. That's what caused some portion of the crowd to get really agitated and move forward into the Capitol. She was the key person. She was one of the lead witnesses in all the cases against January 6th. She kept coming up magically at each key juncture to push this insurrection narrative. And it's undisputed, She now works at the CIA and has for quite some time. You kind of wonder, maybe she was always working at the CIA. I personally have not heard of a lot of Capitol Police to CIA resumes in my career. I have heard a lot of CIA undercover at some police force resumes. That's a lot more likely. So she appears to be the person identified by them, and these are longstanding FBI agents who are whistleblowers, longstanding independent investigative journalists who have excellent credibility. They put together gate analysis, house analysis, surveillance analysis, all points in her direction. And the question then is, why is she still at the CIA under Director Ratcliffe? Why hasn't Bongino and Patel disclosed who these people are and disclosed this case? Why haven't they indicted Brennan and Clapper and Comey on the big charges that Comey hasn't even been charged in yet?
Yeah, and why is that? Let's just stop right there for a second. Why has those folks not been brought up on any charges here, especially after months ago now, Tulsi Gabbard released all this classified information, especially on Clapper and some of these others, that it looks pretty straightforward that these classified documents show evidence of wrongdoing, yet no one's been charged. Why is that?
That is the big open question. And my view is because it's protection of MI6 and protection of Mossad, as well as institutional actors at the CIA.
Surely that would have been known before Tulsi released that information. So now that it's out there, they got to do some kind of action, doesn't he? Because if you just exposed that these guys did something, especially somebody like Clapper, who I think's got probably a lot of dirt, and you don't do anything, then that undermines confidence even in the current administration.
Completely. And you see it the same with Brennan. I mean, Brennan's implicated all the way back to 9/11. I mean, there's all kinds. You name a scandal,
yeah.
John Brennan shows up, illegally spying on the Senate, doing illegal torture in Guantanamo, helping the people get in to do 9/11 and then covering it up later. He was the Saudi guy in Saudi Arabia at the time. He just shows up, scandal. Here's Brennan. Yeah. He's the deep state fix-it man. He's like being there from Peter Sellers, but deep state style. And so given that, you're absolutely right. And if we're serious about any kind of accountability for deep state corruption, then Brennan and Clapper have got to get indicted. It's good that they got something on Bolton. It's good they got something on Comey. But they all need to be indicted together down in the Southern District of Florida, and include some of the private actors that were complicit in this. Bill Kristol was complicit in this. Norm Eisen was complicit in this. This was systemic lawfare. It was a running, ongoing change color revolution coup attempt against the elected president of the United States to sabotage and betray our foreign policy in a way that could potentially lead to World War III. So that's how consequential their corruption was. So there has to be actions. There has to be accountability. But we're seeing no evidence.
So what's your assessment as to why that hasn't happened? If anyone had motivation to indict them, it would be President Trump, and yet it hasn't happened. What is your explanation?
Kind of like what LBJ told Nixon when Nixon was going to throw LBJ under the bus for some things. And so he just went through with Nixon all the different crimes that would implicate Nixon along with him if you were to go that route. I think that's what's happened. I think the deep state has sent the message. You can do little cases, a little classified documents case on Bolton. You can do a little perjury case against Comey in a very favorable jurisdiction for Comey. But you're not going to go after anybody real or serious because this problem will happen or this flaw, this thing will happen. That is the only reasonable takeaway I can have, because they've been completely AWOL. There's no logical reason for them to have not already brought these prosecutions. When Biden was here, all the January 6th defendants were already criminal defendants and locked up. These guys are walking. I mean, they're scared to even perp walk them. They're scared to even publicly arrest them, including Letitia James. Still haven't done anything with Adam Schiff and his history of criminality, not only connected to this group, but he's because he commits other crimes because they can't help themselves, like mortgage fraud and the rest while they're at it. But I have completely lost confidence in anybody at the top of the FBI or DOJ to fix this. And if they're going to stay in power, they need to fix it by year's end. If there aren't meaningful indictments of the Comeys, the Clappers, the Brennans on the big issues, not these little nitpicky issues, then Bondi needs to be sacked. Blanche needs to be sacked. Patel needs to be sacked. And Bongino needs to be sacked, because that's what they were brought in for. I mean, Kash Patel talked real big. He was going to take on these gangsters. He was going to make the FBI office the mausoleum of the deep state. And he said, it's outrageous that Christopher Wray would use his private plane, use the government plane for private purposes. And now he uses that plane four times more than Wray ever did to see his girlfriend over here, to see another go over here, another party over here. He even went apparently to something called Boondoggle Ranch. I got to know. I thought this had to be a meme, but it turns out it may be right. That's what a joke these people are. Oh, they don't have the cojones to take on the deep state. That's what we're seeing.
Well, that's not encouraging. One final question I'd like to ask in relation to January 6th, because there's obviously been a lot of information out that there was, I don't even know how many FBI agents were part of all this. And there's you just mentioned a few that there's some evidence that some were inciting this to try to get something to go on here. To what extent does that, let's just for the moment, just say that those things were true and that there was some incitement. And yet, does that exculpate the people who were actually involved, that the people who broke into the Capitol and you know, violated and struck some of the Capitol police, et cetera? Does that say that they were not guilty, or is there multiple culpability?
It's like a color revolution, that you need some degree of support from the audience you're trying to instigate. And so it doesn't exculpate anybody who did anything wrong that day. But it means they're the key culprits who are the real risk, because these were the infiltrators, informants, and instigators to try to create this environment for this to happen. They wanted the violence to escalate. And this doesn't even get to all the ones acting as disguised undercovers online in these message boards, where they were saying, hey, why don't we kidnap congressmen? Why don't we hang Mike Pence? These ideas, I think, were coming from insiders, from informants, from infiltrators, from instigators, going back to COINTELPRO. Right. It's like the way the people that assassinated Malcolm X are not off the hook for doing so. But when you dig in and you realize it was really a Fed operation all along, it makes the Fed the greater risk to the constitutional republic.
So again, that I would ask, if that's the case, nobody has a higher incentive to bring these people to justice than President Trump himself. And yet that still hasn't happened, despite all this evidence out there. Why will he not require these people to take action here, as opposed to just letting it smolder?
He's been told that if anything he says publicly will be used against the prosecutions as selective prosecution, so that he's been told to not say things publicly about it beyond very generic statements. I think they're misleading him in that regard. But putting that aside, what it shows is that for whatever reason, the key people at the FBI and Justice Department are the ones stopping and blocking all of this. And they have convinced the president that he can't do anything about it. And the only reason why Comey got indicted is he complained. He accidentally sent a message he planned to send privately to Pam Bondi. He posted it on Truth by accident. And that's what all of a sudden forced her to actually go and make sure the statute of limitations didn't expire. And a lot of these January 6th indictments, statute of limitations is up in about 8 weeks. They're up January 5th, January 6th, January 7th. It's gone. And then they can never be indicted. So I think they're just running out the clock. And then you've got saboteurs in all of these departments, all kinds of Eastern District of Virginia, Southern District of New York, Southern District of Florida. You only see hear news of it when they're fired or they suddenly resign. But you have leading prosecutors, leading FBI agents who are complicit in this. So are they going to investigate their own corruption? Are they going to investigate their own fraud? That's why some of us told people you had to clean house. You had to fire everybody and then go back through a new rehiring process. They didn't do that. So they got saboteurs everywhere. And consequently, their ability to get anything done is significantly hamstrung. So unless they take meaningful institutional reform, they're not going to be able to even get these high-profile criminals who are involved in a Fed surrection, not an insurrection, held accountable. And that means we're at risk for it happening again and again in the future.
Well, and that's kind of what my concern is, because if a disruptor like Donald Trump, who has not been afraid to break norms, is not willing to use the power that he has to compel compliance on some of these things. I mean, somebody like his predecessor, Joe Biden, who's like lives in this kind of world and has done everything he can to keep that stuff silent. Whoever's going to follow on, who else is going to do any of these things? And will we ever get any kind of justice or reform in our country?
Exactly. If we don't get it now, when are we going to get it? And that's the deep concern. But I think overarching, the demand for radical reform and revolution is not going anywhere. They can, suppress it, censor it, deny it, try to do everything like Europe is doing, you know, try to keep the AfD off the ballot, try to take the Romanian presidential candidate off the ballot, fix and rig the election in Moldova. All they're doing is buying time. The empire is collapsing in live time, and their crimes are getting exposed more and more just by the common sense of the ordinary person. So it would be the best if Trump were the one. It would be the best for these establishment figures. Let Trump transition us out of a dying, decaying empire to bring down these corrupt institutions, because these people think that by stopping that from happening, they protect themselves. They short-term buy themselves time, but long-term, they buy themselves vendetta-level revolt. And that's what they're going to get, and by golly, they're going to deserve it when it comes.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to wait and see how that comes, and especially with this Epstein file and all the potentially really explosive things that could be in there. We'll see what happens when that happens, because it doesn't look like they're going to be able to keep the lid on this thing for much longer. But really appreciate you coming on and casting some real light on some of these things. We really appreciate it today.
Always happy to be here.
Thank you very much, and we also appreciate you guys. Also, we have yet another show coming up in about 10 minutes. Where we are going to have Mad Max Russians. What to make of their new tactics? We're going to have Stanislav Krapivnik. You're going to really enjoy this. First time we've had him on our show. A lot of you are familiar with his work. Do not miss that. We will see you at 2 p.m. on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.